We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's the WIP Midday Show. John Ritchie, James Seltzer with you. Joe DeCameroff today. Back tomorrow, we think. It's a scheduled day off today, not a Where's Joe day, which is good. I was almost the Where's Joe guy because my phone died this morning.
Yes.
God, that would have been so bad. When I think about it, like I get a little sick to my stomach thinking about
really?
That first moment when I picked up the phone and it was dead and thinking, it's got to be like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, whatever.
That's the worst.
The worst.
Fortunately, you are trained to wake up. I mean, you have.
I'm not Joe DeCamera, thank God. That's the takeaway.
You have a small child at home, so you're trained.
She doesn't wake us. She's amazing. Apparently, so not to, you know.
How is that even possible?
Not to brag or whatever, but from talking to other. Let's put it this way. I've yet to talk to a parent whose kid sleeps or slept better than Zoe. Like, she goes to bed at 6:45 every night, and the amount of times I've ever had to go in and check on her in the night is on one hand, like three, maybe four max. And she doesn't wake us up in the morning. When she gets up, she will sit in her bed and like sing to herself or play with her dolls or whatever. Like literally, I put her in bed.
Lucky,
yeah,
man.
I know. Trust me. I've talked to her.
Really lucky.
It's unbelievable. I know. She's the best. I know. Trust me. I know how lucky I am. Like, I have had this exact conversation.
I did not have that experience.
I know. Most people don't, it seems. I get it. All right. 215-592-9494 to talk some Sixers. But first, let's go talk to our buddy, my co-host. Maybe the only person I've hosted more shows with than John Ritchie. You can follow his work over at 94WIP.com/GoBirds. The one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend. What up, Elliot? Elliot Shore Parks.
What's going on, guys? Show sounds awesome, as usual.
Look at that.
Nice, man.
Even better, some might say.
All right, Elliot, let's get into it. We'll get to some Eagles stuff in a few minutes. Obviously not a ton going on in the world of Eagles action, but we will talk Eagles in a sec. But first, look, if you go to the website, check out 94WIP.com/GoBirds. There is a lot of Sixers content from Elliot. And what did you just think of what you heard from Daryl Morey? The news of the day, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so as someone that's been in a lot of Howie Roseman press conferences, I think Daryl Morey is basically the spitting image of Howie with the way he deals with the media, right? He's been in this league a long time. He's done a lot of press conferences. He knows how to say a lot of things without really saying anything, right? I mean, I thought it was very similar to the press conference Howie had about Carson Wentz at the end of the season, right? Where Howie said, you know, this is a guy you can't imagine trading. It's a guy... It would be like cutting off one of your fingers. And then, of course, they traded him a few weeks later. So my takeaway was Morey tried not to say they were going to trade Ben. You know, he said how much he believed in the trio. I know he was pressed by the King, Howard Eskin, on this, and he kind of fought back on it. But my takeaway reading between the lines is Morey knows his team needs better guard play. And he said multiple times that the players aren't good enough. Like, let's be honest. He's not talking about the bench there. He's talking about some of the best players on the roster. And he's not talking about Joel Embiid. So I believe he's talking about Simmons. He talked about how the rules are geared towards guard play and how it's harder to, you know, the league's big, basically tilted towards the perimeter.
Yeah.
And my takeaway was that means it's hard to build around Joel. That doesn't mean Joel's not great, but I think he knows they need better guard play, and that starts with trading Simmons.
So you're saying they know what's going on. They're going to try to trade Ben Simmons, but what about the market, Elliot? What is this market going to look like?
I hate to keep drawing parallels between Ben and Carson because, you know, that's just not the same exact situation. But having just covered a situation like this with Carson, you know, throughout the whole thing, I was told there's no market for Carson. You're not going to get anything for him. And then they got, you know, what's likely going to be a first-round pick and a third-round pick. So they did get good value for Carson. I think that right now, in the heat of the moment, it feels like you're not going to get anything for Ben. And Ben's a more flawed player in some ways than Carson. But ultimately, I do think they will get a good return for him. They're not going to get Damian Lillard straight up for him. They're not going to get Bradley Beal straight up for him. But he's still young. He's under contract for 5 years. He does have, to some degree, an impressive resume. You'll have to package stuff with him. But I think when Simmons is traded, we'll all be saying this return is better than we expected.
What are some of the names other than Bradley Beal and Damian Lillard that Sixers fans should be alerted to?
Well, the name I would keep an eye on is C.J. McCollum. You know, obviously not as good as Lillard, clearly, but C.J. McCollum would bring a lot of the same thing. I think he averaged 23 points last year. He shot almost 40% from three. I think it was on eight attempts per game. So he's definitely a guy that would
bring.
Yeah, 8.9 attempts per game.
So, actually, your article.
Yeah, so according to me, yeah. But, yeah. You know.
You quoted yourself incorrectly, Elliot. That's rare.
I know. He's a guy that I think would bring them exactly what they need, which is perimeter shooting and a guy that can take over a game. So C.J. McCollum is definitely a guy to keep an eye on. And then, look, Kyle Lowry, I don't know if I would do it, but he is a free agent. You could sign and trade. The Raptors would get Simmons for essentially nothing. You know, if you want to talk about his value not being great, they did try to trade for Kyle Lowry at the end of in the middle of the season. So that's another name I keep an eye on.
What about Steph Curry? Is that a pipe dream or is that a real possibility?
You know, it depends on what Steph wants, right? If Steph Curry wants to stay in Golden State, then he will stay in Golden State. I think he's a LeBron type player where he's going to dictate his future, right? He'll go where he wants to go. Now, would he want to come to Philadelphia? I mean, his brother plays here. Joel Embiid is obviously a player that would complement Steph Curry's game. They're both Under Armour athletes, right? So, you know, you get that going from a shoe perspective. So maybe he decides to come here, and if he does, then, you know, that's where the Warriors will trade him. The Warriors won't trade him anywhere against his will. But we'll see if he actually decides he wants out of Golden State.
Elliot, there's so much going on with the Eagles right now. I just had to ask you some of these hot point questions. The Eagles don't have much happening, but is there any news on Zach Ertz that you've been able to gather?
No, you know what's funny? Two of the constants in my life are I talk to you guys on Tuesday and I get asked about Zach Ertz. Right? So in a world where a lot's changing constantly, it feels it's nice to have those two. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think it's the same thing. It feels like it has been, right? That he's still on the roster, obviously. Now that we've gotten through certain checkpoints of the offseason, the fact that he's still here, maybe they will bring him into training camp. Whether or not he'll report, I don't know. But I think, you know, deadlines spur action, right? And they didn't do it before the new league year. They didn't do it during the draft. So they've pushed through a lot of these and kept him. At this point, unless someone really blows him away with an offer, there's no real incentive to trade him before training camp.
So I'm confused a little bit on the direction that this offense is headed because we've got a quarterback in Jalen Hurts who's amazing running the football, you know, a ground-based quarterback with limited experience throwing the ball. But then our backups, you've got two pocket passing quarterbacks, like guys who really can't run. What direction is this offense going to head in, and who influences that the most? How much say does Jeffrey Lurie's affinity for the pass play in?
Look, we know it's going to play a part, right? It always has. Jeffrey Lurie's always been a hands-on owner. He's always been a guy that believes in throwing the ball. You've seen that with the coaching hires they've made. Like, he correctly, in my opinion, has assessed that to win in the NFL, you do it with throwing. So there's no doubt that they are going to be a pass-first team. Now, where I disagree with you, and I know I'm in the minority on this, is I do believe Jalen Hurts is more than capable of winning from the pocket. I mean, you saw it in college at Oklahoma, right? I believe he was the second most accurate passer in college that was in his year's draft class. So he can do that. Now, you're right that Joe Flacco can't do the stuff that Jalen Hurts can do on the ground, and neither can Nick Mullins. So I do think it's weird to have those two as a backup to Jalen Hurts, but yeah. I think that from a passing perspective, you know, if God forbid Jalen Hurts were to suffer an injury, that they would run the same plays. They just couldn't do the read option stuff as much.
Do you think it's a possible sign that maybe Jalen Hurts isn't the quarterback to start the season?
Yeah, I do. I don't believe they're going to bench Jalen for Joe Flacco.
No, I meant a trade, yes.
Yeah, but what I do think is they could make a trade. And I think that Deshaun Watson is still a very real possibility. I mean, I would put it at like, I don't know, 35% that they end up getting Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's not going to play in Houston. He's going to be traded. And the thing I would also point out is, you know, if Deshaun Watson, let's say he is suspended, right, for four games. Well, Joe Flacco and Nick Mullins, you know, is not a terrible starter back. Well, it is a terrible starter backup situation, but at least Mullins is a semi-capable backup.
For four games is your point.
Start.
Yeah.
Correct, yes. So I think that, yeah, I think the trade is definitely possible.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting thought when you look at the group of guys they have there. It's like, oh, those two backups, they make sense, but yeah, not for the guy you got starting. So, and, yeah, and Watson, while is mobile, is much more of a pocket quarterback than a mobile, you know, runner.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's interesting.
But I can't stress this enough. I believe Jalen Hurts can win from the pocket. I think that, and I know you guys aren't saying this outright, but I think that there's this perception that, you know, he's only going to succeed by running. I don't think that's true. I think he has a very strong arm. I think he throws a very catchable ball. He makes quick reads. So, you know, don't be surprised next year when he is throwing it quite a bit from the pocket.
Follow his work, 94WIP.com/GoBirds, and check him out on Saturday, 1-3 on WIP with this guy.
Always a good call.
Yeah.
Always a good call.
Yeah, we always have fun. All right, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep, talk to you guys later.
Thanks, Elliot.
There he is, Elliot Tripp Parks, dropping some knowledge.
Well, that is interesting.
Yeah.
A name that a lot of us, it hasn't really crossed my mind much the last few weeks with everything else that's been going on.
Yeah.
The Deshaun Watson thing.
Look, we've all said that it doesn't seem like the Eagles are committed to Jalen Hurts, that they believe in Jalen Hurts, all these types of things. And then we know they've been connected to Watson by multiple different people along the way. And look, the Watson thing is like, it's kind of quieted down, like all the stuff about it, that you're not hearing Tony Busby and Rusty Hardenout every day and all that. Like, wherever it's heading, it seems like it's, you know, not as volatile a situation as it was before. Now, it all depends what happens, what comes out of it. But if it is headed to a conclusion, then that means the Eagles could make a move for him. Like, I'm with Elliot. I think 35% is too high, but I would not be shocked in the least if Deshaun Watson is a starting quarterback for the Eagles week one or week five or whatever it is, if he's got a suspension. I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Wow. I mean, he's really good.
He's good. He's super talented.
Got some baggage that we need to
unpack eventually.
Yes.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes, but I wouldn't be shocked at all. 215-592-9494 if you want to chime in on that, the Jalen Hurts stuff as well. Please feel free. Let's go back to the phones, talk some Sixers with Jim in Belmar. Hey, Jim.
Hey, afternoon, guys.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, how you doing there, John?
Super.
Outstanding. I know that I don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to make the most of it. Firstly and foremostly, the reason that the Sixers failed this year is because Doc Rivers refused to put on competent players onto that court. And you could have done it very easily. I'm not the man to say because I'm not a basketball coach or anything like this, but if you look at how they won in Game 6 and transferred it at least a little bit into Game 7, you might have had a better fighting chance. I don't mind if the Atlanta Hawks outplayed the Sixers, to be honest with you, I'm not even really a basketball fan, but because they did so well, I was at least curious to find out how they would do. So I put all the blame, yeah, it goes to Ben, who won't shoot, but mostly it goes for me to the coach, because he kept them out there when he could have tried something, anything that would have gotten a better result.
Yeah, he enabled him. You know, we talked about, and not just like enabled him, he publicly enabled and scolded others for even questioning this. And like, that has to matter with Doc Rivers. That has to matter that this guy, and the cameras talked about it a lot, that this guy came out and like crapped on Philly fans, being like, you idiots, how could you not realize how great this guy is? And up that guy, and exactly what we were talking about, was the reason you lost. Like, the reason your season is over, like, that's not just like a pass. Oh, Doc, whatever. He's just trying to do what he thought he should do. He was wrong. He handled this situation horribly, and they're out of the playoffs.
Right, and there's more to this, because apparently from what Morey just said, he loves what Ben Simmons brings. And when you have a remark like that, whether he's just making fluff or whatever, don't really care. But what he says and what he does, he doesn't bring anything. So if the manager is in trouble and devoted toward Ben and so forth like this, we have a losing organization no matter what way you spill it. But on to my second point, which is even funnier, because I came up with like a format for the Sixers, and I'm not spelling it S-I-X-E-R-S. It's S-I-C-K-S-E-R-S, uh-huh. Sixers, uh-huh. right? And this is just a format. I apologize if I'm not much of a comedian, but pancakes and concrete don't come out as flat as the Sixers did on Game 7. Or a second one, cardboard boxes don't fold the way the Sixers did on Game 7. Or there's still a mattress in the Wells Fargo Center that commemorates how the Sixers fell asleep on Game 7.
Oh, buddy. Bringing them.
Keep coming with it.
Jimmy, what's the best thing about summer?
Watermelon.
I like that answer. I'm a big watermelon.
Oh, man. That's a special spot in my heart.
I know that gets right in you.
Training camp.
Oh, buddy.
You know, 1,000 watermelons.
Basically, like kids with orange slices, right?
Oh, yeah. Nothing like, you know, at the end of 100-degree practice in pads, the second one of the day, you flee the field to the watermelon tables, and there's nothing like it.
All right.
Hey, we got to talk about this.
Literally. Okay, so look at my phone. That's literally what I'm about to talk to you about. I have it open.
Huge deal.
Yeah, let's get into this. So this is making the rounds. We'll get the audio. Most of the audio's out there. If you can grab the audio, we'll play it again. But Stephen A. Smith on First Take just saying, just a little bit ago, quote unquote, I just received a text from someone very, very close to, he does two verys, close to the situation in Philadelphia about Ben Simmons. This is a quote, this is not me, this is them. Quote, he doesn't work, he doesn't listen, and everyone around him is family, and he is constantly babied. And then Stephen A. says, that is the word out about Ben Simmons.
Okay.
What do you think, man? First of all, we know how connected Stephen A. Smith is.
Yes.
I do not doubt this for a second, that whoever the person is, I don't know if they're right or wrong or whatever, but whoever the person is would know. Like this it's someone legit close.
Yeah, this
Stephen
is like
A. Is,
player,
is legit.
Coach. This
yeah,
is someone,
Joel, yes. Doc, whoever it is, it's someone that close.
Yes, and this is the kind of thing that does not get put out there if Ben Simmons is staying. This does not get put out there. I want to repeat that.
Okay, I agree with you from that perspective, but also doesn't it hurt his trade value? Other teams are seeing this. Other teams are saying, like, he doesn't want to work. Why would we want that guy? Like, I agree with the thought of that, but that's a confusing message, right? Like, they should be saying, Ben Simmons is the best worker.
We love him. The only thing
we'll be sad to see him go.
The only thing I can think of, because, again, this is big business.
This is a big quote. This is a big thing right here.
The only thing that I can say that allays that concept, that you're undermining his value, is that you have some knowledge that there is value, that there is demand, that there is trade possibilities, that there are teams who are interested.
Which I think there will be. Again, I do think that the end of the season, the feeling of it, how it happened, the non-dunk, all that stuff, I do think that has pushed us too far to the Ben Simmons is worth nothing camp, when in reality, he is worth something. He does bring a lot of things to the table. He just has this one glaring weakness. I do think there are teams. Look, there's so much ego involved in these sports with coaches, mm-hmm. with general managers. I guarantee you there is a team, there is a general manager who says, we could fix that. We could turn that guy into LeBron.
Well, right. I mean, these shortcomings – doesn't work, doesn't listen. These are things that some teams or some general managers or some coaches would say, okay, well, we're going to buckle down. We can get through to this player. We got through to player X over here, you know, like who was a similarly stubborn individual. And we had success with this in the past. We know that we can fix this player in the here and now. Surrounded by family members and gets constantly babied. Well, we're not going to baby him, so we're going to have a different result.
All right, let's actually hear how he delivered it. Let's hear the audio. You just heard the quotes. Let's hear Stephen A. Smith on First Take just a little bit ago, jumping into a conversation to let them know that he'd gotten this text. Most, let's hear what Stephen A. had to say.
I just received a text. I just received, you know how Max, I get my text messages during the show. Y'all know that. I just received a text from somebody very, very close to the situation in Philadelphia about Ben Simmons. This is a quote. This is not me. This is them. Quote, He doesn't work. He doesn't listen. And everyone around him is family.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's a so forget.
Who would that be?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think of. Like, so my first
Joel.
That was my first thought. My first thought was Joel. That was my very first thought. The first thing that hit me was, oh, that's Joel. Like, you know,
Joel's mad, and Joel
as
is
he should
venting.
Be, as he should be.
Yeah.
Regardless, it is an aggressive thing to give to Stephen A. Smith. You know, everyone knows Stephen A. Smith. Like, that's going on the air. Like, there are people, you know, like, I know if I text John Marks during a show, he's probably going to say what I text him on the air. Like, that's just the way Marks rolls. Like, I get it. Like, if I text him something, oh, there's a great side topic answer, he's going to say it on the air. And I love that because I know it going in. That's Stephen A. Like, Stephen A. knows whoever you're texting Stephen A., you're doing that with the purpose of Stephen A. saying it on the air and getting a reaction. So that's, to your point, the most fascinating part about this is why, right? Because it's not just like being butthurt. It's not like, oh, he's so angry. He just wants to get this out there. Like, there has to be more of a reason to it than we're just angry, right?
I mean, you would assume. You would assume. It is interesting that it comes right on the heels of the Daryl Morey
elaborate press
conference where everything was buttoned up and everything had a purpose. That something like this that could be potentially like off the rails in terms of where the organization is hoping to head would come out. I hope that this was something that was planned. I hope this wasn't just a player going rogue because it could potentially undermine things, but I'm going to have faith, I guess, that everything is going to be managed appropriately by Daryl Morey. Also, because these are things that could be worked around.
Also, it's funny how, like, we hear this and we're like, oh, who said it? Where did it come from? At no point do we say, oh, is that true? Because of course it's true.
Yeah.
I believe that to a T. Like, of course he doesn't work. Of course he doesn't
We've
care.
We've been saying it for five years.
Exactly.
5 years.
Like, that should
remember,
be the story with
that,
right?
Remember, this is the guy who he didn't play. He didn't play his rookie year. It was an injury that, I remember it like it was yesterday. We were saying he'd be back in December. That foot injury was, there were guys who would come back in this time period and he'll be ready. And then it's January. And then it's February. And then you hear, wait, so there's something with the Nike contract where he could forestall his like insertion into the NBA just to get this major bonus from Nike for getting rookie of the year, and that might be coming into play. That is selfish. That is right in line with what we're, you know, getting constantly babied, like that whole idea that falls in line. But this is big and it's going to keep coming. Like, this is out there now.
Yeah.
Now the floodgates are beginning to have some little cracks in them, and it's going to open up.
Mm-hmm. Like Carson.
It's going to get really
like Carson,
interesting.
Right? To that parallel, what Ellie was just talking about with that, like, that's what happened, right? End
I
of the season, those
analogy.
Stories keep coming out. Oh, this guy doesn't work. He refuses to run the plays that are called. Like, all that stuff. It was right in that time period. So it is, I think, a really interesting parallel, especially considering their importance to the city, the what we thought they were as opposed to what they became. I hope we're just not.
I can't wait.
I can't wait till he's gone.
Juicy.
But another Carson Wentz trade saga. It's like, oh, God. Jeez. Can't get your break here.
It is great. It is great that the Carson thing ended up working out so well for us.
No, they did
get
a lot.
Ben Simmons is immensely talented. And that's the bottom line. The guy
cut
was the
that
first
audio
pick,
and send it to all 30 teams in the NBA.
The first pick overall in the draft for good reason.
Yeah.
And he's just never built on it. You know, the article I was reading earlier, it brought up an anecdote from a coach's meeting at some point where the question was posed, in what areas has Ben Simmons improved? Ask yourself that. Has he?
No.
I mean, in 5 years, he hasn't. There are teams out there who say, we can tap into that.
Absolutely.
So that's good for us.
215-592-9494. What do you think of that comment from Stephen A. Smith from a source very, very close to the situation. Ben Simmons doesn't work. Ben Simmons doesn't want to get better. Fascinating stuff. We'll play that audio again for you when we get back. Plus, your chance to win $1,000. That's next. It's Richie at Seltzer. It's the Midday Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.